We wanted to be able to create a sense of a peace of mind. That's one of the things I'm always talking to people about. Like when you're tired of being tired, you just want a peace of mind. And so that is how a peace of mind kind of came about.
Welcome to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast by Coralis, a global community of women and non-binary people making real progress on the world's to-do list. Together, we're transforming the world to become more equitable and sustainable.
Welcome, everyone. This is Lauren Walsh, Development Guide with Coralis, and I'm very excited to be in conversation today with one of our Coralis ventures, Leticia McIntosh-Smith, founder for Peace of Mind Counseling. Leticia, great to see you. And can you tell us about a bit more about your role?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for allowing me to join you all today. So again, I'm Leticia McIntosh-Smith. I am a licensed clinical social worker, or in other words, just a therapist with a Peace of Mind Counseling Services. We are an outpatient mental health company that's located in Richmond, Virginia. My role there is that I serve as the CEO or Chief Executive Officer, as well as the Director of Clinical Services with the company. We've been around since June of 2020. So we opened up in the midst of the pandemic with the goal of understanding that people's mental health was really being affected by being kind of kept locked up inside of our doors. And so we wanted to be able to create an atmosphere where people had the option of either coming in person or meeting with us virtually in order to better meet their mental health needs that they were having difficulties with at that particular time.
And that was quite a time, wasn't it? So tell us about your journey and how you became an entrepreneur and how you created a peace of mind and how things have been coming along since then.
Yeah, so I started my journey when I was in undergraduate. I used to volunteer at a local juvenile delinquent detention center. And so one of the things that kind of stuck with me was the fact that when I went inside of the building, all the children there, they were ranging from the ages of about 10 years old all the way through about 18 years old. And so the kids there, they could only wear sweatsuits without the drawstrings that were on the pants because that could be used as a weapon. They can only write with pencils that had nubs on it because a sharpened pencil could be used as a weapon. They didn't have shoelaces in their shoes because, again, those could be used as a weapon. So being there and volunteering with that group of youth, it made me start thinking about, wow, what would have happened if we were able to be more proactive versus reactive? Where would their lives be at? And so that's kind of how I decided to enter into the role of going back to school to get my master's in social work and then eventually becoming a therapist because I wanted to be able to be that bridge for people that was like, there's more to life than what you already know. We wanted to be able to create a place where people could discover more about themselves in addition to just figuring out what exactly they wanted to do with their lives without having to go down the path of making so many mistakes. We wanted to be able to create a sense of a peace of mind because that's one of the things I'm always talking to people about. Like when you're tired of being tired, you just want a peace of mind. And so that is how a peace of mind kind of came about in general, where we wanted to really focus on helping the individual within their environment and understanding that it's not just things that's going on within you internally, but it's also things that's going on around you that's going to impact the way that you think, the way you feel, the way that you behave. And so if we could get ahead of that and assist a person with trying to figure out better ways of managing any type of stressors or situations that came about that was unexpected, then we wanted to be able to provide them with the tools and resources that they could utilize in order to push themselves ahead.
You have some very unique programs that you have launched through your clinical program, and you're working, I think, with several different schools, and you have a whole cadre of clinical therapists who are working with you. Can you give us an example of what kind of interventions and modalities that you're currently providing?
Yeah, sure. So with our company, we have decided to kind of look at it from a four-tier approach. So we offer outpatient mental health clinical services in which we work with individuals as young as 5 years old all the way through geriatric. And so we're providing them with individual counseling, group counseling. We're working with them on family counseling. We work with them on behavioral management, anger management, anybody experiencing depression, anxiety, life transitions. So there's a lot of different things that we work with them on the clinical side of it. And going along with the lines of making sure that we're holistic, we also know that sometimes people just need some other supportive services. And so we have another tier, which is our integrative wellness services, in which we partner with local community members who offer alternative healing methods. So we may get them connected with a nutritionist, or we may get them connected with someone that performs Reiki or acupuncture, or if somebody is needing some assistance with physical fitness, we'll connect them with someone in the community that can support them on that aspect of it as well. Myself and my co-founder, we're very big on giving back to the community. So we have our civic engagement section of it, in which we try to every quarter do something to give back to the community. Like right now, my interns have decided to host a coat drive. So we're collecting coats for the rest of the month in order to donate to a local organization here who supports those who are in need. And then the last one we have is our educational department, which is our newest venture, which is also what brought us to Corliss, which I'm super excited about. With our educational side, we really focus on working with individuals to try to help them figure out what they just want to do with their life. A lot of times we know people say, well, I just want a job, but we try to encourage them not to just look for a job, because a job just means you're going for a paycheck, but we want you to find a career where it's something that you can wake up and be excited about every single day and not dread having to get up. Because I think we've all been there before where we just dread our jobs. But once you find that one particular job, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about starting my day because I get to work with the people or do the things that I love. It makes it so much easier and better. And it's more sustainable too, because you're not as likely to just kind of jump ship and be like, I'm done, I'm tired, I just quit today. But if you have a passion for it, then you're willing to kind of ride out the waves that come about from any other stresses that may come from it, but it's not as stressful.
I think that was one of the elements of your practice that was so intriguing to the Corliss activators who voted for you. Tell us a little bit also about what challenges that you faced. I mean, being an entrepreneur is no easy road, and you took it on with such a huge mandate. So we're curious about that as well.
Absolutely. So being an entrepreneur has had its ups and its downs. Coming into it, I would definitely say that opening up in the middle of the pandemic was a really hard thing to do. At that particular time, we were seeking out financial assistance from various local banks in the area, or even from some of the SBA lending institutions in the area. But of course, at that particular time, they had the PPP. It was a program for the U.S. businesses that they could apply for monies in order to support them during the pandemic. And because most of the banks were focused on providing for those who have been in business for a while, when it came to a business that had only opened its doors up truly in June, less than 3 months, they did not provide any financial assistance. So I would definitely say that was the biggest hurdle that we were trying to overcome. We know our program is great. We know the things that we're doing is needed in our area and also throughout Virginia, because we offer our services virtually throughout Virginia. And hopefully we'll be expanding to other states soon. But in order to function, you have to have money. You have to have some type of financial assistance. And so in order to be able to adequately pay our staff, cover our operating expenses, cover our rental facilities, be able to support the youth that we're working with, because with our program, we actually pay the youth to learn. So that's another highlight of the program. You got to have finances. So I would definitely say that was the biggest hurdle to try to overcome. It's just being able to connect with an institution that believed in us enough, such as Corliss, which we're excited about, to say, you know, we are willing to give you a try where we understand the financial struggles that you're having, and we want to be able to support you. And I think that's the biggest thing with any of the entrepreneurs who's coming into the business who don't have kind of a nest egg to lean on, is that there's no monies out there for companies that are less than, I think most of the banks we were looking at, they wanted you to be in business for 3 years. Well, if you're just starting, you have you don't have 3 years worth of records. And so just having someone believe in you enough to support you makes it so much easier.
And as a first-time entrepreneur, we're also curious, what other elements of the Coralist community have been helpful for you? What has been your experience like thus far?
When I tell you, this has been the best community that I've been a part of. This has been an amazing journey for me. I have participated in other groups, but they were not as supportive and as knowledgeable. So I will say the best things that I've gotten from this group is just the wealth of knowledge that's came from you, Lauren, because you're my guide, as well as developing the healthcare cohort has been amazing. It's been great to be able to come alongside other women and non-binary individuals who have the same passion and understanding. And essentially, we're all in the same boat. Like, we all know that the struggles of being in the healthcare industry and the different hurdles that we have to overcome in order to advance our businesses. Many of us have been able to bounce ideas off of each other and support each other by giving recommendations and suggestions on what has worked for us in the past, and also steps on what not to do, because we all have had to do trials and tribulations in order to get us further along. So being able to be part of the healthcare cohort definitely was a great experience. It has been a great experience for me thus far. And then also in the very beginning, when I got to meet the other US cohorts, it just happened to be that I feel like, I think there was a total of 6 to 8 of us, and at least 5 of us were of healthcare. And it was very interesting because a lot of the ventures that was part of that particular cohort, or my 2023 cohort, they were doing things that I was hoping to get to at some point. And so being able to meet individuals who were already where I'm wanting to get to was definitely amazing. There was one that was an already established nonprofit, and that was another goal of mine that I have for the future. And so being able to meet with her individually and pick her brain and say, hey, how did you get here? What are some suggestions that you have? That's been amazing. Being able to connect with other ventures outside of the country. Who knew that I could talk to people in Canada? So that in itself has been amazing. And again, you know, being able to connect with people who are like-minded, being able to speak with somebody who is another therapist. I've had the opportunity to speak with several people who are, go figure, licensed clinical social workers. I'm thinking I'm the only one out here, but that has been amazing as well. And then understanding how they've been able to combine their passions and more than one aspect of it. Pam Fanjoy, being able to speak with her in Canada and understanding that she was a licensed clinical social worker, but then also being able to combine her love for the food industry.
Yeah.
And being able to merge that was a great opportunity of connecting, because if it hadn't been for this group, I would never have been able to connect with her and be able to, again, talk with her more about how were you able to do a for-profit and a not-for-profit business and kind of merge the two. So that's just with the cohorts of individuals. And then being able to speak with the activators, that has been an amazing opportunity as well. I had the opportunity of speaking with, I think, no less than about 7 or 8 activators who were very gracious enough to give me their time in order to just share more about what brought them into the Coralist group and some of the things they were hoping to be able to see from the ventures, and just offering their encouragement and support. There were several activators who were able to connect me with other individuals within their company who were able to come in and speak with our youth and be able to share more about their experiences. So we've had people from PNC Bank that were able to speak with our youth and share more insight with that. Overall, it's just been a great, great journey. I think, again, the best part of it has been just being able to make that networking connections and feeling like the support that the group has offered throughout my journey so far.
Well, that's great to hear. So what's next? What's next for A Peace of Mind? And I wanted to mention, I was really impressed that you're working with the group Black Leaders Acquiring Collective Knowledge, that you have a partnership with them. But in addition to that, just what's coming up?
Yes. So what is next for A Peace of Mind Counseling? So we are in the process of establishing our nonprofit. We understand that many of the different ventures that we have within our one organization will be able to be better suited on a nonprofit side. So we are in the process of dividing and separating. It's all still going to be A Peace of Mind Counseling Services, but we are branching off to make A Peace of Mind community support services, which is going to house our educational side as well as our civic engagement, because we wanted to make sure we were able to kind of distinguish between the two, but also know that these are going to be organizations that work hand in hand together. So we are, we put in our application for our nonprofit. So we're waiting to hear back from that. So we're super excited about that.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Went into that, I'm sure.
Yeah, so we're super excited about that. And then just in the near future, we're hoping to be able to just continue to build and support as many youth and individuals that we come in contact with to the best of our ability. Currently in our Career Pathways to Success program, we have about 60 youth that we're working with right now. And by the end of June of 2024, our goal is to get to at least 100 to 120 youth. So we're halfway at that mark. And so we are just wanting to continue to support as many youth as we can. The youth that we work with, they are individuals who are coming from low income areas, as well as they have a barrier that they face, whether it is basic skills deficiency in math or reading. They may be homeless. They may be individuals who are involved in the foster care system, or they may be individuals who have some form of a disability, whether it's cognitive or physical. We work with individuals who are involved in the juvenile court system, as well as teens who are either parents or who are pregnant. So we want to be able to really support this particular groups, especially because we know that they've been dealt with a hand that already causes them to be kind of set behind the bar. And so we wanted to be able to give them as many opportunities as possible in order to make sure that they're successful, whether it's going straight into the workforce after they graduate from high school, or if they want to pursue post-secondary education, being able to support them in that aspect of it as well.
Well, and I was really struck by the terminology that you use about self-actualization. And so for these youth, your program, I'm sure, is a lifesaver and can actually bring them to the future that they deserve and that they're capable of.
Yes, absolutely. Our goal is to make sure that they know their worth. We always want to be able to make sure that they know, despite the obstacles that they may have to overcome, that it's still possible. Anything is possible as long as you decide to put in the hard work, the effort, the time, the energy, and just knowing that they have a support system around them that believes in them and that will be there to continue to support them as they go through their journey. Our goal is to continue to work with our youth. Even after they graduate from high school, we continue to follow them minimum 1 year, but we will stay around as long as they want us to be around. That is our goal, is to continue to impact as many youth as we can in Virginia and surrounding areas as well.
Well, and we want to support you in doing that. So as we close today, Leticia, let our listeners know, how can they get a hold of you?
Sure. So you can visit our website. Our website is www.apomcounseling.com. We are also on Instagram at apeaceofmind.counseling. We are also on Facebook as well, in addition to LinkedIn. And we are easily accessible. Our email address, info@apomcounseling.com. And we would love to be able to hear from anybody that would like to support or provide us with suggestions on what we can do better.
Sounds great. Thank you, Leticia.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ripples of Radical Generosity podcast. Let us know what you thought of the episode and share this podcast with your friends. We invite you to join a global community of radically generous women and non-binary folks at www.corliss.world.